January 13, 2022, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
You feel that you want them to understand other things, too, and that you have some kind of responsibility.
Sure, I try to feel this, and this is one of the things I'm concerned about now. I just don't know how to go about this. I don't want to do... I want to find out just how I should do it, you know, and I think that it's going to have to be... very subtle. I mean, you can't ram philosophy down anybody's throat. And the music is enough, you know, and that's philosophy. But I think the best thing I can do at this time is try to get myself in shape, you know, and know myself. If I can do that, then I'll just play, you see, and leave it at that. And I believe that will do it, you know, if I really can get to myself and really, and then be just as I feel, and I should be, and play it, you see, and I think they'll get it. Because music goes a long way, and it really is, it can influence.
Pedro Show. Happy Thursday. Start off with John Coltrane. Talking to Frank Cossey, November 6th, about wanting to find out just how he should do it. That's a noble endeavor. And then we had In the Womb with 8. And because of those Estonian software engineers, their Skype invention, I got with me Dylan Fujioka. Welcome aboard, Dylan.
What's up?
Yep.
Thanks for having me.
And we got to give credit, right? Brother Stevie Bono.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Shout out Stevie Bono.
Absolute. It's all about people, people. Now,
of course.
Brother Dylan, I'm really curious about your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest musical recollection is, man, I was really into the Cops theme song. That shit got me
talking
going.
Like TV show?
The TV show, yep. I love that theme song. And I remember just like...
Oh, the Bad Boys?
Bad Boys, baby.
Okay.
I was just
I can't remember the drum, but it was kind of a rap, right?
It was kind of a rap. I think it had some... it was kind of like a reggae song.
Oh, that's right. And, that's right. It's got a reggae back. But it was still yeah. kind of rap. Yeah. Bad Boy,
yeah,
Bad
yeah.
Boy, what you gonna do?
Yeah, what you gonna
yeah,
do?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So... Maybe reggae was a big influence. Who did I get to play with? There was a festival here in Pedro a couple summers ago. It was Sly Dunbar, because he just lost his bassman, Robbie, right? We lost Brother Robbie Shakespeare, great bassman. And he had his own band. And, yeah, interesting. So in the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Dude, to tell you the truth, there wasn't musical instruments, but my dad loved music and, you know, there was kind of always music playing and tapes and old records and stuff. So, you know, he was into Beatles and Sabbath and the Seeds and like good shit. So he would always kind of like
Bill Ward.
Yeah, hell yeah.
No, Bill Ward fucking, but especially those first couple records. I mean, especially the second,
oh, dude, he's
third,
the best.
Fourth one. Yeah, I mean, they're rocking and they're swinging, right? Kind of jazzy, but kind of rock out.
Yeah, kind of jazzy.
Yeah, I love
it's
it.
It's like super
it.
Tasteful and interesting parts and.
So your pop's music collection kind of informed your beginnings. So tell me the first record you bought with your own money, please.
Oh, man. Dude, it was probably something like Weird Al Yankovic or like something fucking stupid.
Dr. Demento world. All right.
Oh, I love Weird Al.
The first time I heard him, I don't think there was a drummer. I think he was on accordion doing a joke song about another
oh,
one
yeah.
Rides the Bus.
Rides the Bus. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
I was super into Weird Al as
Sunday,
a kid.
Sunday was Dr. Demento's day, I remember. Like 3 hours mm-hmm. of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fart jokes and, yeah, it was happening.
Yeah, I was super into his movie, UHF, as a kid, too. So I was like.
I didn't know he made a movie.
Oh, dude, you gotta check that out.
Is he wearing Hawaiian shirts?
of course he's wearing Hawaiian shirts, dude.
What about the first gig you went and saw? Was it Weird Al?
Dude, it wasn't Weird Al. I remember my dad was like telling me that the Del Mar Racetrack had free shows. So he took me down one time and Sonic Youth played. And this was before I even knew who Sonic Youth was or anything. I was a little kid. So super cool story just to say, like, oh, my first show was Sonic Youth. But in reality, I didn't even know who they were.
Right. And you're talking Del Mar, the racetrack, people. It's
yeah.
down by San Diego, so it was kind of a hike, right?
Yeah, it was a drive, but we took a trip out there. My dad's real cool. He would always expose me to cool shit, and he always wanted me to play.
But you know
he
what?
He was like
a
failed
bass
player.
He must have known about Sonic Youth, right?
He knew the name. He knew they were, like, a cool band. You know, I don't think he knew, like, what was really up. But he knew the name for sure.
And what'd you say about bass?
Oh, he was like a failed bass player. So he
okay. You're failed. What was that mean?
I mean, he just, like, you know, would, like, fuck around with it, but never really, like, went where he wanted to go. Like, I found his old amp. He had, like, an old bass man one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about a bass? Did you find a bass?
Did not find a bass. Like, I play bass now, but did not find a bass back then. But, you know, great instrument. Love the bass.
Tell me about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Dude, I was the worst student.
Okay.
I was, like, always trying to find a way to get out of there.
Sure.
No extracurricular activities or anything like that.
Well, let's talk extracurricular. After school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, did you do the garage band, the basement band, bedroom band?
Yeah, garage band, always trying to...
Tell me about your first attempts. What was the first time you did shit? With your buddies, right?
Oh, for sure. My buddies. My dad bought me a kit, like, 2000, I think year 2000, maybe 2001.
Okay, how did that happen? Did you ask for it? Or did you say, man, you're going to be a drummer, man?
Dude, I asked for it, and he was happy. He was so happy he asked for it.
And what made you turn to drums and not bass or harp or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know, like, those early years, kind of getting into punk music, like, it just looked so fun. It was like, I just was like, you know, infatuated with just the drums. It's just like, that was the thing. I just knew, just seeing it. So I'd make like a drum set in my room out of like pillows and.
Ah, this was before the kit. Oh, so he had no
idea.
Yeah,
it was way before the
kit. Okay, he had no idea.
So I was playing like pillow drum set for like a year or two before it happened. So I had like the mechanics actually kind of down. So when I got the kit, I was like, oh, I could actually, it's kind of just the same thing.
And did he bring with it, like, if I get you this, you got to take lessons?
Yes, for sure. He really wanted me to read music and be, you know, because he knew I was so bad at school. He was like, oh, maybe this would be like the intellectual kind of thing. He could,
So what was the experience of, was the teacher a good one?
He was pretty good. His claim to fame was like he was like the Laker band drum instructor or something. I don't know. We found him on like some Craigslist ad or some like newspaper thing. But he would come down and he would give us, me and my sister would take like a 2-hour lesson every week.
Your sister's playing drums too.
My sister was playing drums back then. Yeah, she doesn't play anymore, sadly.
But she could play.
Was
there one kit, or did you each have a kit?
It was just one kit.
Okay.
And then we would kind of like
take turns, right?
Switch out. Yeah, take turns, and then the other person would kind of like read along or play along on a floor tom or something.
Why do you think she stopped?
What's up?
Why do you think she stopped?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. He only wrote poems for 2 years. Some people are like that. It's only a little thing, right? Some people, they'll die on stage, right? Other people, it's just a little brief thing in their life. That's okay.
Yeah. My dad was just like, come on, take some lessons. He's here anyway. Just try to see if you like it, you know?
Absolute. And actually, your sister was pretty bitching to go along with it, you know?
Oh, yeah. And we're only 2 years apart, too, so we're getting down in there. She got pretty damn good.
Wow. And then she gave up. Well, some people, Amin Ali, right, at Rashid's son on bass, he just stopped. And that guy was motherfucker. He could play like crazy.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, that's okay, because, you know, we all got our own lives to live.
Exactly. She still got it in her heart, though.
Right. So with your buddies, you make these bands. Now, what are you doing? Are you copying songs off records, or are you guys writing your own stuff?
Yeah, we're playing like Ramon songs and like Attic songs.
Mark.
Like Tommy, baby. I love Tommy.
No rolls. No fills, right? No fills.
it's just exactly what it needs. And he has great hi-hat work. And he was awesome.
Yeah, absolute. And Marky, actually, I like him best when he was with the Voidoids, right? That Blank Generation record.
Oh, for sure, yeah. He got to kind of, you know, flex his muscles on that one.
Yeah.
Ramon's stuff, he's always just kind of like, I got to just, you know, do what it needs, you know.
Well, I heard he was in like a hard rock power trio called Dust.
Oh, Dust, yeah. Dust is awesome.
Yeah.
He kills it in Dust.
Yeah. So, like, as time went on, he had to get littler with the fucking technique. That's all right. That's where life leads. Did you guys do any, did this band have a name? Or?
Dude, we were called Guns to Our Heads. Amazing, huh?
Yeah. Very positive.
Oh, yeah, we're great.
Did you guys do any gigs?
13-year-olds. Yeah, we'd gig around here. We'd do, like,
do you
Battle
remember the
band,
first
like...
Guns to Our Head gig?
Yeah, the first, it was probably like, I do remember, it was like our friend's birthday party. It was like a backyard, classic backyard show.
Kegger.
We did, exactly. Just all the like the little skate kids hanging out.
Was there success?
Oh, it was great.
Were you scared? No? Yes?
Dude, for sure I was scared.
Yeah, shit.
Those first shows are like,
yeah. They're still like that for what? I got to play tomorrow, crying. There's no songs, right? It's improvised. Oh, Christ.
See, that's a different world, though.
Yeah, but it's all scary. Especially without Dave Boone, man. It's for what? It's really scary. Look, you gave me this great title, right? This Journey, because that's what we're fucking talking about. Let's play it.
Yep. Thank you.
If I ain't what you ask you to bake me a cake, we better have an action, along with the day. Today is this minute, I'm forced me to wait for tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Thank you. We'll be right back. the disguise.
Show that chunk of music and started off with Dylan Fujiokas doing This Journey, which is very appropriate for his appearance here at What Pedro Show. Then we had Tom Hall, Failed Attempts at Silence, In Circles after that with Classic Upswing. Then Tom Moody and the All New Greatest Hits Band with Tamara, Crushed by Pimps after that, Pimps Run Free. Who's Lamer, Jam Bands or Indie Rock Cool Kids from Senor Salty Balls. Bombas Prendon, Ma and BP Perkin' Up, Mythless with Dreadless, Niagara with Hordao, that's Portuguese, but didn't fuck it up too bad. New Woman, this is earlier in their career, You're Effective. Helvetia from their new album, Caroline Stays, The AI Snatch, that's cryptic. SLW and BB Jr. out of Iowa with Hold Your Tongue, doing some Sam Lockward Purple Pie Plow songs today. I think he's got the guy from Bronco, Camaro, Bitch and Camaro, that band, right? Milkman, mm-hmm. Ted Milkman. Yeah.
Milkman, yeah, Ted Milkman.
This drummer man made him some rhythm tracks, so it's kind of a tribute to T-Rex in a weird way. Like Purple Pie Pete, right? But he's called Purple Pie Plow. Then Noisuka with Thug Chump Bootlickers out of Culver City. And then finally, Best Coast with All Alone. Some, you being a side man, huh? Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So, you go through school doing the after school jam bands, right? The prac bands and the things and doing gigs and, what happens after school? Do you want to take music to higher education?
Dude, so I went to like a recording arts program and quickly realized this is not for me. Like, I love engineering and recording and stuff, but I was just like having to do it and going to school for it. I was just like, fuck this. So I just kind of dropped out.
Sure.
Halfway through and was just really confused and not sure what to do for a couple of years, and luckily just kept playing around LA and got picked up by this band Chelsea Wolf, or the singer Chelsea Wolf, and I just went on tour for like 5 years, kind of learned everything.
And like we were talking about with the Best Coast, it was kind of a side band. You didn't know this band before?
No, one of my bands opened for Upsilon Acrux, actually opened for her, and she was kind of like right before she kind of blew up, and then she asked me to play with her because she was moving down here from Sacramento, and we toured the world for like 5 years.
But before that, you did this Chelsea Wolf, right?
Yeah, this is Chelsea Wolf.
Yeah. Oh, same thing? Am I confusing things?
So I was kind of, this was kind of my first like big group to actually like, you know, go and do shows around the world and actually, like, do real tours.
And it came from sharing a bill, opening up.
It came from sharing a bill, yeah.
Yeah, so
I was in two of the opening rounds.
I think this is important, Dylan, because some people think that some gigs are throwaway gigs. I don't think you never know when your last gig is going to be, for one thing. And the other thing, some dude might be watching that and thinking, you know what? That cat could have a place in my band, maybe. But if you're doing it like throwaway, you just blew the audition without knowing it.
That's the truth right there.
Yeah. It's just
I really like that. Yeah, you really don't know when your last gig
right.
Especially at these times. So it's like,
well, I learned that with D. Boone, too. You just never know. Do you want your last one to be you went out halfway? Is a throwaway?
Yep,
you know, I heard this word, throwaway, and it was like, what? Fucking hate it. But anyway, it was just you're wise beyond your years in a way, Dylan, by doing that. Actually, you were in two of the opening bands.
I was in two of the openers. So one was like a softer like chamber band, and then Upsilon played it just like heavy, you know, just like going 100%.
Yeah, but then so you showed like, the breadth of your vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly. So the bass player and Chelsea are both like, we like this guy. Can kind of do it all. So it worked out.
Okay. Now, learning other people's song like that, you had to do it quick, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like join the band and then, hey, we're going on tour now. It was kind of like our first show was at The Smell. So it was like, they were still like a smaller band. And then I was just lucky enough to be
Jim.
In it at the time where it kind of like,
I love Jim, but I wish he'd hang some art on those walls because the sound, it sounds like a bowling alley in there.
Yeah,
but I love him, man. He's a beautiful man. Beautiful cat.
Oh, Jim is the best. He's the best, for sure.
And especially if you're playing heavy, oh, my God.
I know.
Bad sound. That,
yeah, you're like in a cave.
Right. Okay, so you got some preparation with these cats. And what, they like, they prax with you and like went through? What'd you do, like take notes?
Yeah, I kind of just listened to the record. And then the live set was kind of different from the recorded version because a lot of her older stuff is kind of just her. So I kind of was like able to mimic drum parts and also come up with my own. And then at the same time, we're kind of like making new songs as well. And they kind of gave me free rein on working those parts out.
Yeah, because so she's, like, she's got a main music guy she works with, right?
Yeah. There's a this guy, Ben. So he kind of, like, is the producer, and Ben's the best. And we were just kind of, like, work through stuff together. And we had a space in downtown. And
you know what the great thing is, man? You got picked because of your ability, not because of some name game or hype.
Yeah, that's the best. Yeah. And at that time, too, it was like, you know, I was like 22, 21, so I was like,
gosh,
I didn't even.
You started Minuteman.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this month.
So you kind of don't even know
this,
what
this
what
month
you're
is
doing.
42 years ago, right? Because I was 22, 42 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that a trip? Parallel universe.
Yep. But when you were 21, like, did you know, like, oh, I'm badass. I'm a badass bass player.
No, I just was lucky to be D. Boone's bass player. You know what I mean? We just love this scene where you could write your own songs. If you want to know the truth, that was the big mind blow, because up to that point, we didn't know people wrote their own songs unless they were playing the forum.
Yeah.
just had no idea. We didn't know about clubs.
Mm.
Yeah, it was fucked up. Fuck the 70s. I mean, there's some good things. There's good things about every time, but just where we were, this idea of not writing your own songs was just so stupid.
Mm.
I mean, sometimes, but never.
Yeah, but never.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, what's the point?
And well, the best guy in Pedro was the guy who could play Black Dog the best, you know? That was it. We never thought of music as expression. It was some kind of like sports thing, you know, or building models. Like, kind of looks like the real thing, but ain't. Yeah. So anyway, why are you doing this with these cats? Did you keep your other bands with your buddies going?
Yeah, I kind of kept that stuff going, and I was getting into, like, kind of like improv and jazz stuff, and just kind of always wanted to do, you know, like a wide spectrum of stuff. So, you know, and I feel like at that time, drummers were hard to find, so I was getting like good offers and playing with people I really respected, and it was cool. It was a great time.
Contrast, right? All of a sudden, playing
with huge contrast.
Guys you grew up with, and now all of a sudden you're in demand.
Yeah, exactly. So it was weird. It was different for sure.
And it was just from playing. It wasn't like connects or management or good bio.
Yeah, never had management or anything.
Through playing. I like that story though. Put it out there, because I think some people get cynical and they think there's no way in unless you got some kind of phony ass, you know, jive thing. And that is just a beautiful thing.
I mean, that works, you know? Like, I meet people that are, like, expert, what is that called? You know, they kind of, like, just go and network and, you know, try to see what's going on in the business or whatever. Like, that definitely works. It's just, like, my social skills were not good at in the early, in my early 20s, you know? Just kind of, like... floating around.
Yeah, to be the stick man with the beat in your hand.
Yeah, to be the stick man.
You know what I mean? Those other cats, maybe they get the foot in that hatch, but can they walk the walk? You know what I mean? Because skill only get you so far if you ain't got skills to pay the bill.
For sure, right? For sure.
Look, Dylan, we're at the end of the first hour, January 13, 2022, edition Wap Pedro Show special guest, Dylan Fujioka. Hold tight for hour two. January 13, 2022. It's the second hour of Wap Pedro Show.
Yes, perfect.
Keep going.
Annyeonghaseyo, Baegu Po, Baegu Po.
Gochu mogole?
Gochu.
Oh, gochu mogole?
Gochu mogole? Gochu mogole? Mogole? Kamsahamnida. Gochu mogole?
Let her say the fucking word.
I'm sorry.
Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
You're getting this shit. She's so great. It's like you speak...
Okay, let's go.
It's like you speak
let's
Oriental
go.
Or a second language.
Where's the music? Where's the music?
This is fucking me, bro.
Yeah.
sorry then. Pongu?
Pongu?
Hey, you guys wanna slow it down some country western, you know?
Watt from Pedro Show. Started second hour off with Hello Song from Mangchi. And then Rapoon after that from their new record, Sanctum, is the tune. Kato Hideki with Hope and Despair. That's positive. It's Buzz Bitchin' record. It's tricky. It's a document for this time and situation, people. And then finally, Mangchi again, By Your Side. Some interesting rap at the end of that first tune. I think it's the engineer asking you to try a country tune.
Oh, that was from our live records. I think it's just like...
It's a sound man?
Our front man just... We had two front men, actually. So it was like... They kind of like banter throughout the whole thing.
Like
kind of like a comedy.
Yeah, the Mekons had two singers.
Oh,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, a long time ago and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, Beastie Boys had three.
Exactly.
Hip us to Mangchi.
So Mangchi is, actually, we have a Beastie Boys connection because Money Mark from Beastie Boys.
Money Mark is Gia. Gardena. Love the man.
Yeah. Almost a Sheeta, baby. Yeah, he's kind of like our main songwriter, and he's our guitar player. And
oh, he's in the band.
Yeah, he's in the band.
I didn't know.
Yeah, kind of like his secret project, I guess.
You know, I had Fredo on, right?
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Fredo Ortiz, right? And he's Gardena, yeah. Too. But years apart. Actually, I think Money Mark grew up with Mario, who ended up doing sound for the Beasties. And in those days,
yeah.
They had a ska band. Money Mark started with ska.
I had no idea.
Well, that's why you're on the show.
I gotta ask him about that.
Sometimes you gotta get enlightened. But anyway, I didn't know. So when did Mangchi come together?
Mangchi came together maybe like 2014. And it was just a collab between, yeah, Money Mark and a famous artist, David Cho. And they had a podcast.
That's right. He started working with that cat. I remember. This is when he was living in Frogtown, huh?
Yeah.
We did some recording with Raymond Pettibone. He called it P-Bone. Money Mark recorded it. Yeah, and one day,
that's cool.
This will see the light of the day. Yeah, Raymond rapping with Money Mark. It was bitching. And tell me about the first Mangchi gig.
The first Mangchi gig was at this little studio. Not really studio. I guess a little warehouse in downtown L.A. It could hold like maybe 150 or maybe 100 people.
Yeah.
And so many people came. We played four shows back to back, so everyone could just come in, see the show, leave. Next group comes in, just so everyone could see it. You know,
right. And it was the same amazing, tunes. Though. It was the same tunes all four times.
Yeah, same set four times. We only had one set at that time.
Yeah. But that was beautiful, so everybody could get a gig. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. There's footage of it on YouTube. It was a great show.
And you say Money Mark is the main songwriter.
Yeah, especially for those first.
Well, let me ask you, being a drummer, man, do you get into songwriting? Because people think drummers can't write songs. You know, Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credit in the 60s.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's bullshit. Like,
I'm all about songwriting and, like, composing now. It's like some of the tracks I say you actually are, like, compositions written for like TV or docuseries, stuff like that. So I'm trying to get into that stuff now.
You know, there's a great soundtrack man, Cliff Martinez, drummer man, right?
Oh yeah.
Go to his website. Yeah. Oh my God. Now, do you compose on drums?
Sometimes I do. If it's like, you know, if I hear a rhythm or something in my head first, but a lot of it is like, starts on guitar or piano.
You learn these other instruments.
Yeah. It was actually kind of at the same time, maybe a little after I got the kit, I was like, just, you know, so in love with music. I was like, I wanted to write melodies. You know, that's one thing you can't get out of the kit.
Well, so, I remember seeing the Mavuista Orchestra, and Billy Cobham had one of those octadrum. It was like eight drums.
Yeah.
They all had a note.
Yep.
And they had long old fucking shells, so, you know, it would last a little longer, right? Because
you could totally get melody. I mean, fucking Basio, he gets melody out of it.
Right.
But it's like...
You know, I got to meet him once. This dude, it was a big gig at a soccer place in Sao Paulo, huh? And
he's
playing with Fantomas. He's taking, who's the Slayer man? Dave Lombardo's place.
Oh, Lombardo.
It comes right off the stage and just starts rapping to me for half an hour. You know, played his brains out. He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, Terry, that guy is a beast, man. Wow.
Terry, he was doing this tour, just drum, right? 2 hours set. Yep. You had to sign a thing when you went in that you would not leave. But it was him and his 68 drum kit, him and a helper man in a trailer, driving around Europe. Yeah, Terry Bozzio, incredible guy.
You got to sign away a contract that you won't leave halfway through.
Well, kind of, as a gig goer, an agreement, like, okay, I'm going to come, but I ain't going to bail on you.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah.
Look, you gave me some other prod stuff, Meat Bodies, I want to play.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
Thank you. and awakening the whole building with a fist fight, breaking mirrors and chairs and lamps, then running down the stairway just before the police arrived. Some of us soldiers of peace, running through those empty, starving streets and alleys of Los Angeles, and all of us getting together later in Pete's room, a small cube of space under the stairway.
out for Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with Eye Eraser from Meat Bodies. L1011 after that brand new Meta. I don't know. One's got two T's. One, they're fake look names, right? Maybe variations on that jive shit. Okay. This is Mountain Offensive, Brother Phil up in Big Bear. Mammoth. Why, oh my. I get this satire, right? GNR, instrumental gospel version. Yeah. We get it, right? Irony. Ironic irony. Miriam Gendron after that from Montreal with Par un Demache Salt, which is terrible French. Pardon, my heart on. Ray Shin after great. That, The Lucky Among Us. I don't mean it. It's just lame. And then finally, Dylan Fujioka with Black Rainbows. Hip us to Meat Bodies.
So Meat Bodies is my current, like, I guess, current jam. We're on, we're putting out records through In the Red.
Ah, great label. Dirt Bombs.
Yeah,
and Dirt Bombs. And also Kid Congo and the Pink Monkey Birds.
But yeah, we're just, they're putting out the new Linda Linda's record as well.
Martin Wang, great cat.
Yep.
He's got his girl, right? Sent me for New Year's, sent me, or holidays, a big postcard with her rocking the bass and stuff.
So awesome, man.
Yeah. You know, did a bunch of gigs, right, to help the grade school, the Castellar or something there, by Chinatown. And because without the gigs, no music program in the school. He's beautiful that way. Giant Robot, right? In the 90s, he had that zine.
Yeah, Giant Robot. Yeah. Exactly.
So
they still got the store in Saltel too.
Really? Okay, the storefront, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah.
And so is the album done? Is it ready to come out?
Yeah, we did a full album and that one's ready to go. And then we did an EP after that. And then that one got released before the album. So that one's actually fairly new. It's came out like 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, probably because situation, things got all like jungled up and stuff. Tell me how the band got together, Dylan.
So they were playing for like, I don't know, almost 10 years, I'd say.
Who's before band? I joined. I don't understand. Oh, you mean they already were a band? Oh.
Yeah, they were already a band. And they had already gone through like 2-3 drummers. And I've known Chad, the front man, since, you know, like high school. So it was shit. And then he would always ask me to play with them and shit, but I was just always so busy doing other shit and just aligned. And we got together and started playing gigs and recorded these two, the EP and the album. And he's just like a close friend. So it was awesome to, you know, be in a band with a true homie like that.
Right. And where'd you record?
We recorded at Gold Digger Sound.
Yeah.
And this other studio in East LA. I forget what it's called.
I can't help you because I wasn't there. That's okay. In the band, now you said you replaced three other drummers, right? But when they brought you in, you had to learn their tunes. But were you involved, especially with that new EP, right? Were you involved with the new compositions?
Yeah, and that's the cool part. He was like, we would work on them together, just us two, guitar, vocals, and drums. And then we kind of like arrange them together. And
wait, there's no bass?
No, there's bass.
Oh, okay.
But just songwriting, like getting the
structure. I was worried there. I was thinking that poor, lonely kick drum.
No, there's bass, dude. Okay, there's definitely bass.
Okay.
My friend Noah plays bass, and
okay.
he rips.
Okay.
But, and it, you know how you were talking about earlier, how no one really gives drummer writing credits, right. or, you know, they don't think about the drum part being an essential part of the song or whatever.
Bullshit.
But
it's rhythm music.
Yeah.
Biggest mistake
I'm on your team, man.
Biggest mistake Minutemen made was not having George Furley up for, you know, the last 20 years. I've always had my drummers downstage.
Mm-hmm.
Why be in denial? It's rhythm music. Look, Dylan, we're at the end of the second hour, January 13, 2022, of this Watt Peter Show special guest, Dylan Fujioka. Hold tight for hour three. January 13, 2022, it's the third hour, the Watt from Pedro Show. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour, Meat Bodies doing Cancer. Then we had Treacherous Jaywalkers. This is Josh Hayden's band in the 80s. And gave me this practice cassette tape, 1984. Prack at Quinn's house in Pacific Palisades. The Wedding is the tune. Then we had Rubber O' Cement from one of their albums. I can't remember, you know, the titles. Like for example, this tune. Cardiophone sucks out the aorta and pushes in glimes and kicking phosphine derivatives. Yeah. Fuck. And it's instrumental.
That's the song name?
Yeah, and it's instrumental. Yeah, so I can't even remember the album name. So fucking. And then what you were talking about early in the show. Upsilon Acrux. Remnants of the habitable epoch. You guys have got some titles going too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you don't have so much no lyrics in your songs. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You got to do it with the title, right?
Yeah.
But tell us about this band, because this band goes way back with you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I joined in 2010, I believe, but they were a band 20 years before that.
Yeah, right. So you're probably the youngest dude in the band, right?
Yeah, when me and my friend Noah and our friend
Bass man Noah was in it, too. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he's my OG homie. He's like, I've been playing with him forever.
And
so
he's in Meat Bodies also.
Yeah, but he plays guitar in Upsilon.
Okay, okay. Yeah, double multi-time. Duty.
But yeah.
Yeah. And so did you guys both join at the same time? Because those cats,
yeah,
like you said,
were
playing 20
time.
Years before you, right?
Yep. And we were playing together kind of like this shitty instrumental group. And Paul had seen us play. And was, you know, I guess saw some potential or something. And we went to go have a drink, and he asked us if we're down, and we said yes. And the first rehearsals were terrifying because it was like music that was so far advanced.
A lot of parts.
A lot of parts. It really pushed us, and it was awesome.
A little different than Best Coast, but music is music. It's all right. It's all right, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's like chow, right? There's all kinds of chow and. And then what you could do, child, with spice and all that stuff. And,
exactly.
Really, and you know, the beautiful thing, too, is, like, when me and D. Boone were 21, 22, like you were talking about that time, you wouldn't have had shit like that, guys, 20 years. No, there was a big uptight thing about, you know, wrong generation or whatever. You're old. You're young.
Mm.
That shit's gone away. I love it.
Yeah. I think that was the whole point, that Paul wanted to get some young guns and, like, new energy in there, you know?
Absolutely.
I totally get it.
And look, you gave me another Upsilon Acrux tune, Pitch Mountain Maps. Let's listen.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Started off that chunk, Upsilon Acrux, with Pitch Mountain Maps. Then we had something brand new I got from back east. Plus Dog Plus with Unexpected Peace, number one. And then finally, a big piece. Dylan Fujioka and Patrick Shirioshi. So, Lucky Boys. You gotta hit me to this. I mean, what was this?
This was just, dude, I've been playing with Patrick forever. He's a sax player, and
yeah,
he's like my go-to guy. We do a lot of duo stuff, just sax and drums. Like, we really like that combo. And
Ruins.
How raw.
Yeah. You hip to Ruins?
Ruins, dude. Okay. Yeah, hell yeah. Sax Ruins is the best. But we have kind of like less structure and just, it's kind of just all improv. And
like this piece here, right? Whoa.
Yeah.
Lucky Boys.
Yeah.
Right,
we just turn on we just click record and go. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We don't really
talk
about it before. And we just kind of do it. And then there's labels that want to put it out. We're lucky.
So you said Meat Bodies is your current thing, but jamming with Patrick is current.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think we're gonna record this Sunday, too. So we're just kind of always doing stuff.
And like you said, it's not really composed. It's improvised. Well, that's composed in the moment.
Yeah, it's composed in the moment. But, you know, there's nothing like improvised music. There's nothing that could get you feeling like that or take you to another place like that. So it's the best.
Yeah. Are you hip to a guy, Tokyo in the 70s, Caro Abe on sax?
Oh, Caro Abe, yeah. He's the best too, man.
Wow.
Pat's all about him.
Really sad what happened, you know, later on with him. But he ended up like on harmonicas. I guess it was easier to carry around. But his, man, some of those recordings, he blows sax. You could tell the John Coltrane influence, but he still had his own trip. It was beautiful. And then,
yeah, man,
he was married to this lady. I just read some science fiction from her. They just, it's the first time they translated. This is Izumi Suzuki, and it's called Terminal Boredom. It's kind of tragic in some
ways. That's the name of the novel?
It's the name of her book. She wrote science fiction in the late 70s and early 80s. And interesting. Also, his cousin was the guy who sang that. Stupid title, right? Sukiyaki, but it's really, I look at the stars so the tears don't fall down my face or something like that. For some reason,
that was his cousin?
That was his cousin, and he was killed in a plane crash, right? Like
yeah.
A jumbo jet, 747.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was saying music is music, right? But can you, da 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 da, and then this guy, wow! But, you know, there is
That's
a place
crazy.
For everything, right? Music is music. It's a universal language. I love it. And where can people find you on the internet, Dylan?
It's Dylan Fujioka on Bandcamp.
Let me spell it for people. DylanFujioka, people.
Yep. And I'm on Instagram, too, and YouTube. And
all right, but you don't have your own personal website.
No website. I did, but I was like, I don't know.
One day you want to get it back because it's like having your own fanzine. Like, nobody's in between you. And the gig goers, listeners. Just
a
thought. I'm just putting it in there.
That's true.
I'm just putting it in there. I've had the Hoop page since, I think, 96. Something like that.
Wow.
But I'm just putting it out there. You know, staple up your flyers on those corporate telephone poles, but one day you want your fanzine back. Currently, okay, you're doing Meat Bodies. You're doing this jam this Sunday with Patrick. What else you got going on?
Still playing with Best Coast. We just had to cancel our national tour.
Postponed,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's got to be optimistic about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at this point, it's like this tour has been canceled and rescheduled and canceled and rescheduled so many times. It's like, when is it going to happen?
What was Trumbo Lumba had that song,
happen.
Remember? You get back up, you get knocked down, you get back up. What was that? Tub something or some shit. I got to play with them. They were on tour and they came here. Yeah, Leeds band. Kind of big Disciples of Crass.
I was going to say.
Guys. Yeah, Chumbawambas. Yeah, in fact, Viv Libertine and her son played guitar. They opened up a little duet. It was beautiful.
Mm.
So, and what about this project with with Money Mark. Manchi, is that still going?
Yeah, that's still going. We kind of like, since there's so many members, it's like we kind of just get together every now and then, and you know, everyone's so busy with their shit and
right. And
virus and stuff. So, but yeah, we were doing some stuff recently, actually, a couple of months ago. We've been meaning to get back together and do another album. We did like 20 demos, so.
Whoa.
We'll narrow it down.
And what about the status on the Epsilon 8 Crux?
We're just waiting for Paul. As you know, Paul's in Taiwan with his, he just had a, well, he didn't just have a kid, but he's raising his son out there.
Okay.
So he's eventually going to come back and we'll get that going again.
And then you guys will be his rhythm section. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got a full plate of stuff, even though, yeah, situation's got things dangling in limbo.
Yeah. Everything's been kind of postponed for.
Is there a specific Dylan Fujioka project you're doing?
You know, when I do solo stuff or when I compose, it's always from in my own name. And then actually on Bandcamp, I kind of have some solo drum stuff too.
And you said you were investigating some kind of movie thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been my thing recently. I scored this show called Cho Show. It's David Cho's show on Hulu.
Okay.
And it was kind of like my first big thing to score, you know, and I had a bunch of scenes and I was like kind of pro level. So it was awesome.
That's great, man. I'm really happy for you. Congrats on that.
Thank you, man.
Yeah,
it was the best.
The whole dealio. You got to thank your pop for getting you that drum kit. So don't call him a failed bass player. Just say he had to retire it. Just had to retire it. It wasn't failure. Because
in a way, his
music is living through you, Dylan. It's beautiful.
No, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. He's very proud.
I'm older, son.
He used to come to all the shows and stuff too. So.
Oh, great, beautiful. Anyway, you get new stuff and stuff. Come back on the show, please.
Oh, for sure.
And play
definitely.
It and stuff like that. Okay, thank you so much. People, it's been January 13, 2022 edition of Pete Rose. You can't get powdered right.